You're listening to Let's Get Legal, hosted by John Hanson and powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Today's show is sponsored by employment and labor attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hanson, and let's get legal.
At 1:10 on a Saturday afternoon, hello everyone, John Hanson here. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to have a fun show in store. We always like to get your questions, 312-981-7200. As most of you know by now, I'm not a lawyer, but we have great guests that are, and some good ones too. Patrick Dolan joining us. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, John. How are you?
You're great too. We love having you here. And we were just kind of talking, you were on Your Money Matters with us earlier this week, and we had a lot of great questions and calls, and we thought, well, we already have you for this show. Let's just do the whole show on employment law today.
That sounds great.
Good to you.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. You know, the weather started out beautiful. It was sunny and warm, and I think, did the wind shift off the lake?
It's back so much door, colder. Cold front. Yeah, it's our second one of the week. Temperatures falling 15 or 20 degrees or so in no time. So, sun's shining, but chilly.
It is chilly, but it's a good Mother's Day weekend. And so happy Mother's Day a little bit early to all the mothers out there.
Absolutely. Warmer tomorrow for Mother's Day, as Perfect. It should be.
Yes.
Patrick, you're an employment lawyer. What sorts of things do you handle?
Really anything to do with the workplace, from the hiring process throughout employment and then the resignation or termination process. We handle things to do with compensation, whether you think you're underpaid or you're owed commissions or a bonus. There's something maybe to do with some equity, some stock payout that you should have gotten that you didn't get. During your employment, Janet, like we've talked about so many different things. Maybe you're the target of an investigation. Maybe you're someone who's complaining about a coworker or a boss that you think has done something wrong. So a whole host of different things related to employment, really from beginning to end.
Maybe you and a bunch of your colleagues over the age of 40 aren't getting promoted. Well, a bunch of colleagues under the age of 30 are. I mean, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there. And I get calls all the time about folks concerned with age discrimination, and it's still prevalent.
For sure.
The law is pretty clear as to what constitutes age discrimination and what doesn't. If you're over 40, you're in the protected class. If you're treated worse than those under 40, then you may have an age claim. That could be what somebody may have said to you at work that was age-related, derogatory comment about your age. Maybe you're not included in certain meetings. Maybe you're not paid the same. Maybe you're not promoted because of your age. And what I hear a lot is maybe you've been terminated in favor of a much younger employee, and you think it's due to your age, not necessarily the fact that you make more money. So there's a lot of different bases for age discrimination, but it's prevalent.
That fits your bill or something else. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And get on the line quicker than later, because sometimes people wait until 2:55 for their question. And Patrick, that'll be a little too late. But Karen was right away calling as soon as we teased you were coming on, Patrick Dolan. Karen, hello. How are you on this Saturday?
I'm good. The sun is shining. I don't care what the temperature is.
Amen to that. I've always felt the same way.
I agree.
So what do you have, Karen?
So I had a contract with my former employer for a guarantee, a two-year guarantee, and each payout was to happen at the year anniversary. And a year ago, February, he owed me the first payout. And for the first one-year guarantee, and he never paid it.
So you're saying that you had a two-year guarantee, but you no longer worked there, and you were trying to get the...
So he owed it to me in a year ago, February. I left May 1st because he still wasn't paying, and there were other reasons as well. Mm. So I'm just wondering what recourse do I have, because it was clearly in my contract that he was due that, and he's kind of known to kind of do this kind of stuff.
Karen, so are these like bonuses? Because you were still working there. So you were making your salary still, right? You were getting your checks.
Correct. I was getting my checks, but it's a guarantee because it's a long selling cycle. So in order to attract talent, they have to guarantee you're going to, make certain markers or get certain payouts. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to attract people.
Okay, interesting. But it's in the contract. So, you were supposed to get paid last February. You didn't. So you left in May. and you're curious if you can retract, at least get that February pay, and maybe even say, hey, I was supposed to have 2 years of this. So, Patrick, why don't you start asking questions? Go ahead, Karen.
I wouldn't argue for the second year because clearly I was gone. And it does say in the contract that you have to be there in order to qualify, which I was for the first one.
Okay, so Karen's not being greedy, people. She's just asking for that 1 year, which seems fair to me. Patrick, you got any follow-up questions before we begin?
No, I mean, I get it, and I hear that sort of thing all the time, unfortunately. So Karen has a couple of different claims that she can assert, and then we'll talk about the practical realities of following up on that. So clearly a breach of contract, right? I mean, if the obligation is to pay and none of the contingencies within the agreement allow the employer not to pay, then she's owed the money.
Yeah.
Straight
up.
Yep, absolutely. So the second part, or the second basis that she could pursue a claim is under the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, which requires employers to pay wages pursuant to agreements. So she has that claim too, and that's a really good claim because there's statutory damages that can add up over time. There's interest that adds up over time. There's attorney's fees that she can recover.
Yeah.
So it's not just the amount that Karen's owed under the contract. It's there's a lot of add-ons.
Which is a great point you're bringing up, Patrick, especially about the attorney's fees. Because, guys, Patrick charges at arms and leg. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
He's very fair.
Thanks, John.
But I guess what I mean is if someone missed a whole paycheck, but then they're like, I don't want to get a lawyer for this. I don't want to. I mean, like, it's going to eat into it. That would incentivize bad bosses to just not pay people for a pay period. So the law requires that they pay your fee too.
Yeah, and let me just take that a little bit further. So under the Illinois Wage Payment Collection Act, any element of compensation or any benefit that's monetized can be collected or is due under that law. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that people are not paid whatever they're owed, in attorney's fees is recoverable for all of it. So it's not just a breach of contract claim. It's an Illinois statutory claim, which is great. So back to Karen.
Go ahead.
So she has those two claims. Now, here's what I find the difficulty. The problem is getting money out of this person. Right. If he has a history of not paying employees what they're due, and you want to pursue a claim, which, by the way, can be filed either with the Illinois Department of Labor or just straight up in circuit court or federal court, then a demand letter asserting those rights and where you can file in order to try to force them to pay those monies, frankly, may or may not work. And you may have to litigate. You may have to file something.
To sue him.
Yeah, because if he has a history of not paying, you know, I don't know who's actually sued him. Frankly, I don't even know if he cares if he's sued.
Now, if you enter civil court, does he eventually have to pay the attorney fees for all the private litigation?
Yes, 100%. Okay. It's attorney's fees associated with anything to do with prosecuting that unpaid wage claim. So, absolutely. But I'm concerned about whether this person's going to pay. You know, I can write a demand letter. Most of the time, those work, and you don't have to sue. But we may have to sue this guy to get that money.
And well, if you sue him and then you're awarded money by a jury or a judge, I don't know where you go from there, but if he still has businesses that have assets, they can start to claw those away and give them to Karen, right?
That's right. And those lawsuits can take quite a bit of time. You may want to file with the Illinois Department of Labor because that's a little bit of a quicker time to hearing where you can, assert the basis for those monies. So she's got a couple different things, but I would start with a stern demand letter.
And from you?
Yes, from a lawyer. Yeah, for sure. And say, hey, this needs to be paid. And under the Illinois law, there's a whole bunch of, you know, extra money that would come her way if you don't pay it now. And frankly, since you've already not paid it, that additional statutory damages are already due. So,
If there's a lawsuit. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, just my fear is that, I mean, it's a nice chunk, it's a little chunk, well, it's all relative. It's a chunk of money, and I'm afraid that he can outlast me if we get into a legal battle. You know what I mean? But it's nice to know that there is a possibility that the attorney's fees would be covered.
Yeah, and so, to your point, Karen, I get it, right? And I hear that question all the time. Oh, but they only owe me X. You know what? I add my attorney's fees to the demand letter. I certainly add it to any litigation. And the fact of the matter is, I say, listen, you're going to pay the money owed to your former employer or to your employer, and you're going to pay me, and my hours are going to accumulate. They're going to go up. So you better do it now, because later it's going to be a lot more expensive. And by the way, I don't compromise on my fees. You're going to have to pay me everything that's owed to me. So you put all that together, and it incentivizes companies to pay.
Is there a settlement that can come if you sue him? Like, hey, you owe this much and these attorney fees, but we'll take this much? Or, Patrick, does that not happen in these cases?
I am not going to say that on the air, John. No.
Okay, very good.
There is no compromise.
Right. Yeah, I like that. No compromise.
Hey, Karen, do you listen to Karen Conti on Sundays ever? You know who she is? She's on WGN all the time.
Yes, I do. I know they're partners. Yes.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If the letter doesn't work, Patrick just sends a picture of Karen's biceps to them, and that does the trick, doesn't it, Patrick?
She is ripped, so yeah, that works. That works a lot of times better than my demand letter. Yes.
That's why you joined
Thanks,
the firm
John.
With her.
Thank you. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Karen, any other questions?
No. So next steps would be like contacting you or...
Yeah, or- sure. Let's get in touch on Monday if you want, and we'll talk about it, and I'll gather the information and prepare the demand letter, and we'll go.
Karen, I'm going to say his phone number about 35 times over the next 2 hours, but I'll give it to you one more time here. 312-332-7800. Patrick, you read it this time to do it in the true radio form. What's your number, Patrick?
312-332-7800.
And Karen, if you
missed
it,
guys.
Keep listening. We'll
Thanks, Karen.
A bunch. That's a great first question. Yeah, you get your money, girl.
You know,
that's absurd.
You know what, John?
There are bad bosses out there, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my gosh. I get calls all the time. A lot of them are about commission and bonus. I mean, that one's pretty clear cut, frankly. In her situation, by the way, getting an annual stipend of some sort, and in her case, it's for commissions to incentivize folks to stay, right? Because it tends to be a long path toward getting compensated if you're living on commissions. So I applaud what he's doing, but boy, you got to pay people. And if other folks find out that she's not paid, then
yes.
He's going to have a real problem hiring anybody.
Yeah, if he's got a recruitment problem already, or the job is such that you need to incentivize people through yearly payouts, and those don't come. Oh, my goodness. And I wonder, did she lose any leverage by leaving that position, Patrick?
No, not at all. Well, only in the sense that she wasn't entitled to the second round. But you know what? She'd stick around and you wouldn't pay her that.
What I was going to say. Yeah, all of a sudden the salary wouldn't go through. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-981-7200, our phone number. You heard Karen. That's a common problem. You might have another one. We'd love for you to get on the line. What's happening in the workplace? Even if you don't think it's illegal or don't know for sure, call in. Give us a scenario. Spread the hot goss that's happening in your office, obviously without any names or the office name. And Patrick Dolan will find out if there's something wrong there. We'll take a break right now. More with Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. 312-981-7200. Text on your questions or give us a call at that number. 312-981-7200. Patrick, Karen had a great question that you walked her through about a boss who was supposed to pay her, I don't want to say a bonus, but a stipend every year. He didn't. She later quit. She wants to claw back some of that money. And you told me during the break, this is something that happens a lot, and you wanted to expand a little bit on wages.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Hers is pretty clear in the sense that there's a bonus or a payment that's due on a specific date, and if she's not terminated before then, she's due the bonus. But I get a lot of questions on commission plans and bonus plans, things that are in addition to what their employment agreement might say. And I tell folks, like we talked about with Karen, let's start with what the plan says. Let's start what the commission plan says or the bonus plan says. And oftentimes, John, these are really basic. Like, it's not written specific enough to even figure out whether someone is due a commission or a bonus. Or
maybe by design, it's written
exactly.
A little bit more nebulous.
Exactly. And they give themselves some discretion, to not pay it if they don't want to pay it. But that's, don't be dissuaded, employees, by that, because there's a lot of favorable law out there on commissions and bonuses that will frame the times when you're actually due those monies. So if you have an agreement that you don't think is very specific, there's a lot of stuff we can look at that's outside that agreement to help determine whether you have the right to the bonus or answer when you have the right to the commission payment. Because with commissions, it's sort of a vested right thing. When do I have the right to the commission? Is it when the client signs the agreement? Is when a payment is made? Do I have a right to those over time if clients pay over time? And so there's a lot of specifics we have to dig into, but I tell folks, don't worry if it's not all in there. There's a lot of ways for us to find out what rights you have under those certain documents.
Now, if it's clearly written in there and it's just that you don't like it, that's different. But if it is cloudy, there is law that might protect you. Or are you even saying that sometimes even the way they write it out is not in compliance with laws that are local?
Well, yes, that's for sure the case. But for example, John, the word discretion is often put in there to help the company. But you know what? Oftentimes it hurts the company. So we have to determine what that means. So I get people all the time saying to me, oh, it says it's discretionary, so they don't have to pay it. Don't put those two things together. They may have to pay it despite the word discretionary.
Just an example. So we're talking about a salesperson that makes commission. Maybe the guy paid for a couple months, then stopped paying. The company says, well, you get none of the bonus. Hey, hold on. Let's talk about this, even if the handbook doesn't clearly state what's happening.
That's right. I mean, there's always something to discuss when it comes to commissions or bonus.
Patrick Dolan's at 312-332-7800. Our phone lines are open right now, 312-981-7200. Do you feel like you're being discriminated against at work for all sorts of different reasons? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Wages, non-compliance, non-competes, all sorts of things Patrick Dolan will break down. We'll also look to the international community about some strange workplace laws. Patrick Dolan in studio today. Patrick Dolan's an employment lawyer. He's a partner with Karen Conti, who does the family law. So that makes up Conti and Dolan. And Patrick, you ready to go to the phone lines for more questions?
Sure, let's do it.
Call Patrick, by the way, and call us here right now about anything employment law related. Bob's got a question on line one. Hello, Bob. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. What do you have for Patrick? Oh, Patrick's doing great, too. Patrick, you doing good?
I'm doing great. Thanks,
great.
John.
We're all covered now. What are we doing with Bob?
Beautiful. Well, my question has to do with a 401k. Just about a year ago, a company that I've worked for quite a number of years was purchased by another company.
That's always fun.
And yes, it was. I mean, it's been good so far, but one of the things that's a little bit concerning is at the initial meetings and in their handbook, it stated that they have a 401k plan, which they match up to 4%, and that we were going to be enrolled as of the first of the year. So far, that has not happened.
Ooh. And this was in the handbook they told you this, or like in the agreements about when they took over the company?
Well, at the initial meeting, it was told to us, and then when we got a handbook with all the enrollment papers and everything, that's one of the things that they offered through their company.
Written down.
Besides insurance and everything else, that was one of the benefits that was included, was the 401k. We were told that we would be enrolled as of the first of the year.
Wow.
And as of right now, there has not been an enrollment of the people that were in the company that was acquired.
Patrick, is 401k promises of matches count as wages that Bob is not earning that he should be earning?
The short answer is yes. So it sounds like all those 401k monies are just sitting in the old plan, and the new company hasn't done what they're supposed to with regard to rolling it over into the new plan and make those contributions. So that's a benefit.
Well, yeah, the rollover is one thing, but adding the 4% match is huge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, and adding the 4%, right. So, I, you know, Bob, I'm sure a lot of people have complained about that. What is the company saying?
Well, they say that they're working on it.
You know, it's May 10th.
They're trying to get the plan in place. However, obviously, they've already got an existing 401k for the employee, the company that purchased us.
Well, they better make a retroactive 4% since January 1 for you and everybody else. Let's put it that way.
Have they said anything about that, Bob, when people ask?
Other than saying they're working on it with their with the company that they have their 401k plan with. But so, my knowledge, none of the newly acquired employees are part of this plan yet. And I rolled my existing 401k into a you know, my own IRA.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you want to start the new one and get that 4% that you've been promised.
Any contributions at this point?
Right. Is it a match, Bob, or is it just 4% off the top no matter what?
It would be a match.
Yeah, Patrick, I think that would be, they'd have to do this. Go ahead. Okay, good. But so, Patrick, people are, let me just stop for a second. People are adjusting what they're paying and putting in because they're promised this 4% match. Like, this isn't just, hey, we'll give you something off the top, here it is. It's a match, so that means people are going to put in 4% to get the 4%, or as Bob said, more than that, but that seems like a promise that's not being kept.
Yeah, and I was, in generally speaking, a lot of those sorts of promises are obligations. They're contractual obligations that the company needs to abide by. So, you know, let's see what happens. But if they don't make that 4% contribution retroactive back to January 1st, that's clearly, I mean, they're already in breach of the obligation, right? But I mean, there we have a set amount of damages that we can figure out in terms of, you know, what those matches should have been. I don't know. It's honestly, it doesn't take that long to get a new 401k provider, especially when you're talking about an acquisition, John. I mean, it happens all the time. And you either keep the provider or you have a new provider and you roll over and you give people rollover forms and everybody rolls over to the new provider. I mean, it should be done by the second week of January. This is not a big deal. It happens all the time. It's very rare that I hear of any issues with regard to new 401ks after an acquisition.
For 4.5 months.
That's ridiculous.
And also, I just want to say, Bob, not to rub salt in the wound here, buddy, but I used to work for a company that did the 401k match at once a year, and I just hated it because it always seemed to be timed with when the market was up, they'd make the payment. They weren't trying to be nefarious. It just happened every time in March, usually. But, Bob, I'd be sitting there when the market had gone down 10, 15, 20%. I'd be like, man, I wish I was putting into my 401k right now. I'm sure, Patrick, they can't retroactively buy at the time of the low cost.
Right. So now we've got 4 months that I was not even able to put anything into it. So, yeah, granted, you know, the market took a dump and it's on an upswing, but even that, had I put some money in when it was at the bottom, you know, I would have been making a little bit more money. And
can I ask one more question, Bob? I want to make sure I got this right. Are you able to put your percentage in and the match is just not coming, or is it not even set up for you to put a contribution in?
It's not even set up yet. I'm not even able to make a contribution.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
we're not
ridiculous.
Enrolled in any 401k plan as of right now.
Okay, that's ridiculous, yeah, Patrick. Taking some time, okay, but like not having an account where I can put my money in and save through what is tax IRS law that I'm able and should be able to do seems ridiculous. He should be able to, and you can always catch it up, Bob, and put in a bigger one at first, but that means you have smaller paychecks for a while, Patrick, to try and get up to the maximum that you can contribute for a year. We're started diving into the confluence between both my shows, Patrick, but any other thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you can quantify how much Bob pointed out rightly that the stock market did go in the tank, but you can quantify it if it happens during the time where you would have actually made money. It's 4% plus, and I think it's not that hard to figure out what that plus would be. But, I mean, he's got a problem from the get-go. There's not even a plan. So this is ridiculous. I don't know what's taking so long. It shouldn't.
When should Bob call you? Is it now or is it give another month?
I think somebody needs to write a letter to this company on behalf of Bob and everybody else and say, where is the 401k plan? And by the way, we want retroactive monies back to January 1st and we want it done ASAP. I don't know,
Patrick, could you write that letter and happily not have the company know that Bob is the one that contacted you?
Probably not. I don't know why I would even be involved. But the fact of the matter is, if it's on behalf of Bob and everybody else similarly situated, they're going to take action. Like, by
I just didn't know Bob
week.
Didn't want to rock the boat on his own there. And,
well, then he'd have a retaliation claim, John. We've talked about that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Bob, you can call Patrick if you'd like, and maybe he could write a letter for you to help you on out. That stinks.
Well, I definitely am going to speak to some of my colleagues at the office and get their take on this.
Good.
But I think it's something that needs to be definitely addressed because, let's face it, I'm losing 4%.
Yes.
You know,
at the very least, I'm losing 4% on my money that I could be making.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what, Bob? There's strength in numbers. As in a lot of employment-related issues, there's strength in numbers. So if a whole bunch of you go into an office and say, we are all losing money because you guys are not adhering to this, maybe you'll get some quicker response. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Well, I will pursue some avenues there, and if push comes to shove, Patrick, you may be getting a call.
All right,
that's
Bob.
His slogan. When push comes to shove.
That's good.
Patrick Dolan will help you out, then Karen follows up if need be. Bob, thanks for the call, okay? Sorry, buddy.
Thank you so much. Bye.
312-981-7200. Patrick, Bob seems so nice. I would be apoplectic as a host of a financial show.
I know.
Like 401k contributions are like my bread and butter.
Absolutely.
Let alone my SEP IRA, my Roth IRA, my IRAs. And to think that I would be, I mean, honestly, when I saw the market going down, which is not good, of course, but if you're someone that has a little bit of a ramp and you're contributing, then, hey, those stocks are on discount. If I was not, if my company was not putting in not only the 4% they promised, but not letting me put in what I want to put in, I would be going insane.
This is a perfect crossroads for your two shows, right? And also because most people don't have pensions, right? Most people
aren't right.
Yeah, it's all SEP IRA 401k. That's it. So you're talking about people's futures. And honestly, it's not a big deal. I mean, I've done a lot of 401k work over the years. It is not hard to make that happen in a timely fashion.
Yeah, and some people might say, that's just a couple months. I'm like, that's a third of a year. Let's say that's like $8,000 you could have been
May.
In. Compounding in 20 years, that's like $60,000 you might have missed out on. Okay. Let's not stress Bob out anymore. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Got Karen and Bob have already called in. You can be next. 312-981-7200. More with Patrick Dolan after this on WGN. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. Phone lines open right now. If you have any questions about things that are happening at work, maybe you're not getting what you're owed, maybe something squirrely is happening in the office where you're not getting promoted well, everyone else is, well, maybe there's something about you that's different than everybody else, and that's not okay. Patrick Dolan can help you out on the line and help you out, obviously, afterwards as too. Patrick Dolan, you want to talk about some international fun employment laws?
Yeah, this country is different than most Western European countries when it comes to employment laws in a lot of different ways that, frankly, are not real favorable to employees. So let's take one, John, for example. In Portugal, which is typical of a lot of Western European countries, in many countries, frankly, in other places too, you can't just fire an employee.
What do you mean?
You can't. You need a reason. And not only do you need a reason, a legitimate reason, a reason that is typically based on misconduct and not just bad performance.
Wait, but what?
I know. Yeah, it gets crazier. You also have to go through a whole hearing process. There are a lot of countries that mandate that a company go through a full-blown investigation hearing process about the reason for termination before someone could even get terminated.
So what about where our company is poor now? We're in the red.
Then you're going to have to prove that you're in the red and you're poor. A lot of these countries don't allow companies to just terminate people for financial reasons. You still have to go through the process. And I get questions all the time about people who are terminated, and they say, well, they didn't give me a reason, or I disagree with the reason, they say I was doing a bad job. I wasn't doing a bad job. It has nothing. It had nothing to do with my conduct. Suddenly, it's a new boss, and the new boss doesn't like me. All those sorts of things. And unless, John, as we've talked about many times, unless it's something that's discriminatory or retaliatory, or you're being harassed, or something that's illegal as to the basis for your termination, companies can do it. They don't have to tell you why they're firing you. That is very unlike Portugal and a lot of other countries, that not only do you have to be provided a reason, but it has to be a legitimate reason, and you have to go through an entire process before someone can even be fired. And in addition, a lot of those countries have mandated severance laws, and they're very generous. They tend to be months-long severance obligations on the part of companies. So the U.S. really stands out, frankly, in terms of these sorts of things as being not at all employee friendly.
You know, some of that I can get behind a little longer. Severance being mandated. Maybe you have to be told while you're being fired. But Patrick, I'm gonna say instead of, so we're gonna do take it or leave it. I'm gonna say leave it because I've worked with a lot of people that, and everyone has, that just don't pull their weight, don't show up on time, they're not great at their stuff, and then there's like, if they had to be mandated to stick around for a long, long time to the detriment of the company where I'm trying to help make money and so we all can do better, I wouldn't like that at all.
You know what, John? This is another segue to your other show, Your Morning Matters. I think maybe reflected in the GDP. You know, so
right. Like, you mean our GDP would be lower if we had these laws?
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, you know, Americans are very, very productive, as are other countries that, you know, just allow companies to do whatever they want in terms of termination and not have to keep on people that are not pulling their weight, as you say.
So you're going to take it or leave it, Patrick?
You know, Scott, I think it's a mixed bag. I would like to see an obligation of severance. Sometimes it's very, very hard to get separation money from people who have been terminated because the company went through an acquisition or because the new boss suddenly doesn't like them after they've done a great job for 10 years or because of a restructuring or something like that. And then they're out of a job. And a lot of companies don't have a separation pay policy. They're literally just fired with no separation pay and no benefits. You remember, COBRA is super expensive. You have an obligation to keep your benefits going under COBRA, but you have to pay for it.
Right.
And it's about 106% of the cost.
What you pay right now.
Yeah, John. And so it's like really,
okay, we
really
can make
tough.
It a little easier, but in general, illegal to fire an employee, I'm leaving it. You'd also be out of a job, Patrick.
No, I'd be in a lot of hearings. That's what I would be in.
Actually, you're right. You get
yeah,
more work.
I would.
The guaranteed hearing.
I'd be busy regardless, John. It's just I think it would be more fair. I understand what you're saying. I'm not necessarily disagreeing. Let's make the transition a little easier. You know, pay these people who are suddenly out of a job.
You know, I sway back and forth, Patrick. There's some days I feel like a real capitalist, and today seems to be one of those.
Apparently,
days.
Yeah.
I'm a hardline capitalist. God,
have a heart, John. Jeez. And,
well, then there's some days where I do have a heart. You know, it's just, you know, you got to catch me on the right day.
It's a nice day out there. Come on. It's
yeah, exactly. Well, it's a little colder now. So,
it's sunny and beautiful in Chicago. Come on.
Got a little bit colder. Yeah. You want to do one more law here before we take this break?
Sure. Well, you know,
let's go to Japan.
Let's go. Oh, you like that one, huh?
I don't know if I like it, but tell us about it.
Well, in Japan, companies are required to measure waistlines of employees who are 40 to 74 to identify health risks and promote a healthy lifestyle. You know, we already have stuff like that with insurers, right? Companies say, hey, you got to do this or do that if you know, to get great benefits from our insurance company. But mandating it, requiring your waistline to be measured seems sort of harsh, John.
There are companies that weigh people in to get better insurance benefits?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm going to say leave this one for many different reasons, but also because BMI and waistlines are not the best way to measure someone's true health. So
that's for sure.
If it were, NBA players, Patrick, this is a fact before I break for news, every single NBA player would be obese according to the BMI registrations. And have you looked at them? They are not. Okay, Patrick Dolan, hang on the line. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Patrick Dolan's our employment lawyer of Conti and Dolan fame. And Patrick, you ready to get a couple calls before we do more international laws?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Let's go to line one and Nat. Hey, Nat, you're on WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. Hope you're all having a great weekend.
We are. Thank you.
So I got a two-part question.
Okay.
So I was employed W-4 for a safety company that does construction safety, and I was assigned to a client, and I did a little mistake, and the client wanted me off the job site. But I was never given an official notice that I was terminated by my actual employer.
Okay.
And so I went and applied for unemployment, and they said that I was fired, but I never did receive notice that I was fired.
So you were working on the job site thinking that you were employed by an employer who essentially sent you there. You said W-4, you filled that form out with them, so you're a W-2
Correct.
Employee, and you don't find out that you're fired, and you still work on the site, and you can't collect unemployment now because there's some confusion about whether you were fired or whether you were not fired at that point. Were you still getting paid when you thought you were, when they said that, after you said, they said you were fired?
Well, the thing is, I had a company email and I tried to access it one day and they wouldn't let me access it. So I made a phone call and I said, well, why am I not able to get to my email, my work email? And the lady on the other line said, well, we'll turn it back on when we assign you to another job site. So she never did say I was actually technically fired.
Huh.
Or nor do I have anything in writing.
Did you do any work at any point when you and you haven't been paid for it either by the company or by the specific person you were working for out there?
I'm not quite sure what you mean, but I was out there performing a task that, you know.
You got paid for?
I worked. Yes.
Okay, you just said earlier that you had kept on working out there without knowing you had been fired. I'm curious, was that like days,
no,
weeks?
No, I did not keep on working out there. The job site let me go. They kicked me off the site. But I was never officially terminated by this third-party company.
So you're just trying to find out whether you're due unemployment insurance or not.
Right, because I already got a letter and a phone call contesting that I was in violation, but at the same time, they never told me that I was actually terminated.
Okay, so Patrick,
this let go because the client did not want me there.
This is an interesting one, Patrick, because you told me, I think it was last week or the week before, I assume that if you get fired, you get paid no matter what unemployment, but you let me know that that's not the case, and maybe that's something that's happening here with Nat.
Yeah, let's walk this back a little bit and start from the beginning. So when you file a claim for unemployment insurance with the Illinois Department of Employment Security, the department will seek an answer from the company about, number one, whether this person was terminated, and if so, for what reason. And John, to your point, if it was a conduct reason, you're not going to be allowed to get unemployment. That's not the case here. What we have here, and which should be fleshed out at a hearing, an IDES hearing by the administrative judge, is
the Illinois Department of
Yes, Employment
Services.
Department, right? Is this person doing paid work? Because I don't. If they're not doing paid work, then frankly, they should be furloughed or laid off or whatever it is. But you can't just keep somebody quote unquote employed and not assign them to a job and then say that they're your employee for purposes of preventing you from getting unemployment compensation.
That's, and that's where you're talking about ridiculous. The email thing where she's like, well, we'll turn your email back on when you get a job with us.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm a little bit confused as to where he is in the process, because if he was denied unemployment initially, you can and should appeal that decision with the Illinois Department of Employment Security and raise the point that, listen, I don't have work. Just because they say I'm quote unquote still an employee doesn't mean I'm working. That could be for months and months and months where I don't make any money.
Yeah.
So that should result in you being awarded unemployment compensation.
And now, did you say that you were, that they essentially fired you because the customer on the site didn't want you on the site anymore, right?
And,
hold on one second, Patrick.
Yep. Yeah, and I was going to say
that's not a reason to fire someone.
No, John, that happens all the time, right?
Yeah, clients, for whatever reason, don't like X, Y, or Z, but that's why you're employed by a boss who employs you. You can't then be like, well, they didn't like you, you're fired.
No. But yeah, what I was saying is people are pulled on and off client sites in a whole bunch of different industries all the time. But if that's the only way that you make money is if when you're working for a client, then if you're not working for a client, you should be eligible for unemployment.
Does it seem like he's
okay?
So Nat, did you got a letter that you were denied? Does it say anything about an appeal in the letter?
Yeah, it will say.
I had that phone call already with them, and I explained to them the situation, and then they said they will get back to me with a decision. So
usual,
and, which is ironic because the 3 weeks later, I get hired on again at the same construction site, but as a 1099.
Okay. Oh. I was just going to say, it seems like you've been a 1099 employee the whole time with this company. And Patrick, that raises a whole other level of concern.
It's a different company.
It seems like you were operating. Company. Yeah. Seems like you were kind of operating as a 1099 employee already with that previous company if they were saying on and off again.
I was a W-4 employee.
I know. I understand that. It feels like you were being treated like you weren't.
I agree, John.
You can call Patrick Dolan on Monday, or if they get back to you or whatever the case may be. Patrick, anything else you want to add to this before we say thank you to Nat?
No. I'd like to follow up because I just have a lot of questions about
So, Nat,
this.
The number for Patrick is...
Yeah, and I'll just throw this in there.
Sure.
So... Yesterday, as a 1099 employee at the job site working for a different client, they decided that they no longer needed my services due to the fact I was not a good fit. Now, did I do anything wrong? No, not that I know of. They just are mum about it. It's why.
That's weird. Seems like a site you don't want to go to anymore, Nat.
Right. That's right. Tell them to put you in another job.
Yeah, tell be like, stop having me out here then. What are you doing, guys?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, as a 1099 employee, then I think they have the right to be like, hey, you're a contractor. Get the heck out of here. But I don't think that's a reason why you should have been fired and denied unemployment benefits. But you'll follow up with Patrick. The number for him is 312-332-7800. 312-332-7800. Nat, have a good one, okay? Good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
That means a lot. We appreciate that. Yeah, Patrick.
So, John,
that's
a
weird place.
Yeah, that is weird. As a quick follow-up, I mean, so you do have a hearing in IDES, and they will tell you whether you've been awarded unemployment compensation or not, and then they'll give you a notice, and you have a time to file an appeal, and then you can't – his situation's – strange. You'd have to sort of tease out what's going on there, right? But you'll have a chance to provide additional evidence if you're denied unemployment. And those decisions get overturned all the time. I get those overturned all the time. And your point is well taken, though. I mean, is he a W-2? Is he a 1099? Like, what's really going on?
Right. I get it if it's seasonal, right?
But we need him to be a W-2 to get unemployment, right? So,
I guess what I'm saying is, but this on again, off again, based on site to site to site, that does not sound like a W-2 employee.
No. It doesn't, because you're not being compensated during the time when you're not placed on a site, right? I agree with you. I totally agree with you. His situation's confusing.
It's a weird one.
It's weird. But
he should stay away from that site, though.
I know. What the heck? Quit putting that guy there.
I like Nat. Come on. I don't know what they had against him. Let's take a quick break here. We've already heard from Nat, Bob, and Karen, and you can be next, 312-981-7200. Patrick, you've also been kind of sharing some strange international employment laws, and there's one in France that I want you to highlight for us.
Sure. So in France, companies with over 50 employees have to provide workers the right to disconnect from work technology after work hours. That's crazy in this country. Like, can you even imagine, John?
Well, so that's what I wanted to ask you. Are there laws? So let's say I get an email from my boss at 7 p.m. Of course, that's right after my Your Money Matters shows. But let's say this is not me, but someone. That's after my hours, and I respond to it at 9 a.m., right, when I get to work. If that boss says, you're not performing the way you should be, is that illegal? Like, if they give retribution because you didn't answer the phone after hours, aren't you entitled to just – all of us are entitled to go, bye, see you tomorrow morning?
No. Not all of us. Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess I wish it was that way. No. So a lot of salaried employees don't have set hours, nor do they have an obligation to work only 40 hours a week, right? I mean, so if there's a work issue that comes up at 8 or 9 at night or 5 in the morning and they don't respond to that work issue, believe it or not, there's nothing illegal about them being disciplined for not responding.
Including fired.
Absolutely. Now, having said that, there is expectations that are set usually and should be set at the beginning of the work relationship. So people know, you know, am I expected to, you know, work as you know, my boss needs me to work, et cetera. And that's, John, that's really job specific. There are a lot of jobs that are 9 to 5. You're not expected, nor could you be disciplined, because you're not compensated, right, for after those hours. Maybe you're hourly. Maybe your duties are very set, 9 to 5, and that's the expectation. So you can't be terminated or disciplined for not responding to an 8 p.m. Text. But you know what? Several jobs require you to do that. So it's really job specific. But there's nothing per se illegal for a lot of employees about being terminated for not responding to that 8 p.m. email.
Huh.
I know.
It's kind of wild.
I know.
I imagine it's one of those things where it doesn't happen quite like that, right?
Yeah.
You miss one email, you're fired. No, I'm sure it's more repeated pressure from bosses, and you create a culture at the workplace where, like, no, we work these hours. This is how it is. It's ingrained in you. And if you just don't, ultimately, they just say it's not a cultural fit, right? It's like you're not someone that fits into with what we're trying to do here. It's not like, oh, you didn't respond to one email, you're gone.
You know what, though? Let me say that law in France there is a movement, and California is leading the way on this. There is a movement to protect people's own time after work and allowing them to quote unquote disconnect. I don't know if a lot of states are going to adopt that, but California is leading the way on that very issue, because people, especially people who are now working from home, saying, you know what, I work more than ever, you know, yeah, now that I work from home. There's no set hours, and they're asking me all the time because they're maybe worried, am I doing my job or whatever, you know? And so, but there's a movement in this country to protect after hours, for
sure. I get it. That's another, it depends on the day of the week, Patrick, for me.
And you're kind of cranky today. So
It depends on the job. Are you well compensated?
It does. It totally
depends on
your job.
Do you like the people you work for? You know, check your email every now and then outside of work hours. If there's something happening you can help someone out with, try and do it. If it's repeated and they're coming at you crazy and it's not okay, say something about it before you just quit or say, oh, there should be a law against it.
Yeah, you know what? And I've had a lot of people who are fired for not responding to that 9 p.m. email. And then, honestly, then you go down the road, is it discriminatory? Are these women who are being terminated? You know what I mean?
Or don't work.
I'm just saying, though, then you have to find out whether they're being treated worse than other people.
I want to get Ken's question in. We may not get the answer news, but let's go to line one. Ken, what do you have for Patrick Dolan?
Hi there. Calling on behalf of my daughter because she's too afraid to call in. But she works in a hospital, and I'm a grandfather for the first time. So she
congratulations, Ken.
That's exciting.
Thank you. And she's off on, you know, maternity leave. But she's got like 30 days of PTO saved up, mm-hmm, vacation and personal time, and she wanted to tag it on to the end of maternity leave, mm-hmm, and they're not allowing her to do that.
That's a great question, Ken. We're going to get Patrick's answer. Stay on the line, though, because he might have a couple follow-up questions for you. Ken is on line one. He's chatting with Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Law, and Patrick's an employment lawyer. Ken, just want to make sure I got this right. Your daughter works at a hospital. She's on maternity leave. Congrats on the grandkid. Boy or girl, Ken?
A boy.
Boy, little grandbaby boy. I love that for you. And thank she you. Has maternity leave, and is it 3 months, Ken, or do you know how long it is?
It is 3 months.
And she wants to tack on essentially another, 30 days, you said, of PTO?
Correct. And they
good
won't
for
let
her,
do
by
it.
The way. And they won't let her do it. Patrick?
Ugh, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here.
Ugh.
So assuming the maternity leave is unpaid.
Let's ask, is it paid or unpaid, Ken?
Paid.
Oh, it's paid leave. That's really interesting, because what I was going to say is any employer can require an employee to use their accrued unused PTO during the time of an unpaid leave, any unpaid leave. FMLA unpaid, as we all know, and that protects a maternity leave, right? But if she has – that's really interesting.
Yes, it's probably just part of her employment, right?
It is, but a lot of people don't even have a paid maternity leave. So
right, good for her.
Yeah, that's great. So that changes things because I don't – it must be in their policy that they say that she has to use PTO during the maternity leave. But then how does that work?
Or they say, and I don't know, we'd have to read the handbook, hey, you get 3 months of PTO. It's just straight up. You get it. You don't have to use PTO.
And you can't tag on your PTO.
And it says something like within 3 weeks after blah, 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 whatever the case may be. Because a lot of people – and this is great if you got it, and God bless my colleagues over at Block Club Chicago. They're helping me out. I got 3 months PTO there with David's birth, which is wonderful. There's no stipulation I have to use PTO or anything along those lines. I haven't read the employee handbook or not about if I were to say, by the way, I want another month after that, I'll be using my vacation time. Maybe they wouldn't be so happy then. But I wonder if it's just in the employee handbook, Patrick.
Yeah, and I assume – well, we have to – I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Ken. You got a follow-up? Please.
Well, the only thing that she was thinking of doing is this, because she can do this, she's going to go back for 2 weeks and then take her 30 days PTO.
Yeah, and you'd have to read right. And you'd have to read the policy about how long you have to wait after maternity leave before taking PTO. So just be really careful. But to answer the question, a company can force an employee to substitute paid for unpaid leave using PTO, and they can also prohibit an employee from tagging on paid leave to existing paid leave to make that leave even longer. But it has to be very explicitly stated as a policy in the employee handbook.
Yeah, I get the instincts too, Ken. You're like, 3 months seems like so much before you take it, and then you're in the middle of it, and you're like, I'm just getting used to this, Ken. I could use another month.
Yeah, it's a lot, I'll tell you. And she was just hoping to be able to tag that on.
It's not like she's going to Paris for a month.
I'm sorry?
It's not like she's going to Paris for a month. She probably just wants another month with the baby.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have her check her handbook and see what it says then.
Good
That's
call.
The place to start.
Thank you, guys.
Congrats, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
All right.
That's exciting. Ken and the family.
Good for Ken. And I think it's great that she's getting the 3 months. First and foremost, awesome on the hospital, and it doesn't seem she has to use PTO for it. Those are all thumbs up. Saying then that your employee can't use a month afterwards, I mean, especially at a hospital, my brothers, we can put Ken on hold or hang up on Ken there. We appreciate him calling on in. But like, especially my brothers are firefighters, right? There's different rules about when they can use paid leave or not, and how that works. And so I get it in some of those sectors why a hospital might not be like, yeah, no, we gave you 3 months. You can't use the two. You got to wait a little bit to help us on out before you take another month off.
Yeah, but still.
But still. Patrick will look at it, and Ken can have her daughter call 312-332-7800. Okay, speaking of families, I want to get this in because, Patrick, this is the one thing you said you wanted to talk about, and we get great calls, but I want to make sure we don't miss family responsibilities. You know, I think at the start of the new year, Patrick, there are so many new laws that it's almost hard to cover them all the changes in employment law, let alone all the new laws. And so some of them kind of get lost by the wayside. And this one, which became effective in the start of the year, I don't remember. I'm sure you told me about it, but I don't remember much of the details. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this one is a really important law that I think is actually going to help people out. And it's a change to the Illinois Human Rights Act. Now, John, as we know, that's the law in Illinois that protects folks from discrimination, retaliation, harassment based on a whole bunch of different protected categories. Well, we have a new protected category, and that is that an individual can't be discriminated against based on their family responsibilities, which we'll talk about in a minute, and their decisions regarding reproductive health. So those are now protected classes under the Illinois Human Rights Act, which is important because, unlike a lot of federal laws, the Illinois Human Rights Act applies to any employer in the state of Illinois who only has one employee. So, for example, under the Family and Medical Leave Act, which we just touched upon, which relates a lot to this new act, you have to have 50 employees for the FMLA to be enforced against a certain a company, right? So this is a new law that's going to apply to every employer. And here's why it's so important. So if an employee has family responsibilities, that means that they have...
Yeah, let's define that.
Yeah, so they have a responsibility to personally care for a family member who may need a ride to the hospital, who may need basic medical care, some nutritional support, some safety, all those sorts of things. In other words, John, this is so important because a lot of those things are not protected under the FMLA because the person doesn't have a quote-unquote serious health condition. Uh-huh. So not only you got to have 50 employees, but the bar is even higher under the FMLA. Here, the bar is a lot lower. And it says, if you have someone in your family who you need to take care of, okay, the company that you work for cannot discriminate against you if you need to take care of that family member. Now, here's an important difference that's very different from a lot of federal and state laws. It does not require that an employer accommodate your need. You just can't be discriminated against for taking time to perform that family responsibility. So the company doesn't have to change your schedule to accommodate your need to be home at a certain time or whatever. But if you can sort of work around it, they can't discriminate against you for taking those family responsibilities.
Does this have to be it's like you're the legal guardian of the kid, or could it be if you're a grandmother and you really have to have the responsibility for X, Y, or Z reason? Is perceived provisions allowed for personal care for family members?
Well, let's talk about family members under the law includes your child or stepchild, spouse, a domestic partner, a sibling, a parent, an in-law, a grandchild, grandparent, okay. So a lot of folks who sort of the outer reaches of your immediate family, I guess I would say.
And this also provides folks that are making reproductive health decisions too, that same sort of leeway.
Yeah, you cannot be discriminated against or treated differently because of your use of contraception, your fertility choice, sterilization, reproductive things. If you've gone through a miscarriage and you need to, or someone in your family has gone through a miscarriage and you need to help them through that, you're protected as well. Also pregnancy, which we touched on a little bit ago. I've had people come to me often, John, and outline their responsibilities in either the employer doesn't have 50 employees or the person doesn't have a serious health condition or something just doesn't rise to the level of a federally protected law. Well, now I have somebody say, okay, can you take care of this, this person in your family that needs your help while you're doing your job? And if you can, then the company can't discriminate against you. It fills actually a sort of a hole in the law.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Got time for another question or two. We got a time for another international law or two as well with Patrick Dolan. His number, 312-332-7800. Our number, 312-981-7200. Get on the line now. Don't wait another 10 minutes because then we're going to get a race on the show here and we can't do that. We're going to be up with the news and such. So we'll do that after this on WGN. Someone else texted in, Patrick Dolan. Love this Dolan guy. So there you go. Patrick Dolan, any thoughts on that? They love you too? No? Patrick Dolan going once? Can't hear.
Sorry, my mic.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. My mic was off. I am not going to blame anybody else, but my mic was off. And yes. That's usually something you do, but I guess it's somebody else did it.
Someone did it.
Anyway, so I'm sorry. What was
someone
the question?
Someone likes you on the text line.
Oh, that was really nice. That's probably my mom. By the way, happy Mother's Day, Marianne Dolan, Earl Day Early. Thanks, Mom, for that shout out.
To nice. Marcia as well, my mom as well, Mother's
yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
By the way, I've also spent the commercial break arguing with someone on the text line, which is a really great use of my time, calling us commies.
Oh, okay.
Me, I think particularly, and the Ken's daughter for taking maternity leave.
Oh.
And then wanting to add a vacation to the end of it, saying that he argues, he or she, I think it's a he, on the 773 says, first of all, commie, we're commies, and that she should be fired for even requesting the time, which is insane. They'd have a lawsuit on their hands immediately.
I'd like that claim.
But I want to make an overall point about capitalism. Wow. And yes, I know we're going to go broad here. I think there's a point and something to learn, a learning moment from being called a communist for a moment.
Sure.
Which, by the way, last hour I was the biggest capitalist you could ever find on this radio station.
But, okay.
But I want to ask you this, and you tell me. Companies that offer sick time benefits, paid time off, like good packages with that, maternity leave, like 3 months paid, you know, you can just take it. I would wager a guess, Patrick, you tell me if I'm wrong, are the companies people flock to that in great talent wants to work at, that then reward their companies back with great talent, and that some of those companies are actually the most profitable and the most proven time and time and time again to be the best companies often that exist in our country.
You know, your texter called you a commie is not going to like this comment. Happy employees are productive employees. And because so many companies now have put together what I consider to be pretty good leave packages, packages that protect them in terms of their health care, et cetera, are the ones that people want to work for. And those, frankly, are not the ones that tend to call me. I don't, you know, now, again, I don't hear people call me up and say, I love my job. I just want to call you and tell you how much I don't hear that. But I will say it's the ones who don't have what I consider to be fairly basic, you know, protections and leave laws and leave, et cetera, who, you know, get the good employees. And I just generally don't hear from those folks nearly as much. It's the ones who don't pay under the bonus or commission plan, don't pay their full hourly rate, don't allow them leave, don't have a good health care provided to them, et cetera, and who have folks who they work for who treat them very poorly. That's why I'm so busy, John. You put all that together, that's why I'm so busy, and that's why they leave, and that's why they want to leave.
And that's why they then have
tell
to,
their people,
they're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and they tell other people, don't work there. I mean, look at Glassdoor. I mean, you could learn a lot from places like that. I know we shouldn't name anybody, but any sort of, you know, media job site like that.
I'm just going to complete the equation here,
sure.
Patrick. So companies that offer great packages to people and attract great employees make more money, and that, in fact, is not communism. That is what, Patrick Dolan?
Capitalism.
Yes, the marketplace sorting itself out. Yeah. Now, does that ebb and flow? If we hit a recession, are companies going to maybe pull back on what they offer? They don't feel the need to necessarily offer as much to certain employees. I don't know, perhaps.
Maybe, but I guess
it's not communism.
No. Well, obviously not. It's not even close to it. And that's just, you know, anyway.
Well, they followed up that capitalism means free association between employee and employer, which is exactly what is happening here.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yes.
Maybe, Patrick, I'm going to go on a limb here.
Go ahead.
Should I be spending this much time arguing with a texter?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No, we should do, well, there's so many other good things
I just,
to talk
I get
about.
So, I get, I maybe they wanted to trigger me, as they say.
Well, it apparently worked.
And it did.
Don't take the bait, John. Come on.
Tip of the hat to the 773 for triggering me by calling me a communist today. And they got exactly what they wanted out of me. So
moving on, John Hansen. We're moving on.
Patrick, what are people calling you about these days?
Oh, you know what? We're back to the non-competes, and people still say, yeah, here non-competes are not enforceable. Yes, they are enforceable. They can be, at least. And so I still talk to people who want to get a new job, and they have a non-compete. Now, at least, you know, we start from the presumption of it's probably enforceable. Let's walk through what you want to do. And it's all, you know, oftentimes it's negotiable. Even if you want to go to a competitor, we can probably work that out for you. So I still get non-compete calls probably every single day of folks who want to change jobs and have a non-compete, and how can they do that? And they can. Don't be dissuaded. If you have a non-compete, that is not the end of the conversation. So I'd love to talk to you about it. If you have a job you want to do and it's for a competitor, or you want to work with a client you've worked for and you have a non-solicit, please talk to me. Because that is not the end of the conversation. It is entirely possible for you to do that.
And I usually ask you once every time you come on, you are at the forefront sometimes of maybe seeing if there's a layoff precipice that we're about to cross. We haven't seen it in the numbers, which are backwards looking. Mm. You know, with all this tariff talk, people wondering if things are changing. What are you seeing out there? Job market just kind of holding steady right now?
It's holding steady. We got some mergers and some layoffs. But no, I think it's pretty good, actually, right now. Hanging in there.
Yeah, and that's what the numbers show, is that we haven't reached a point. Now you have empty shelves for a little bit and companies get a little bit more worried. Perhaps you start seeing those layoffs, but the numbers have shown that those are not there. Okay, Patrick, I'll give you 30 seconds for the elevator pitch. What do you want people to know about you and what you do?
Well, I'm a workplace lawyer, and even if you're not sure if it's illegal or what's going on, let's talk about it. Maybe it's not, but I can help you work through that issue you have at the job, or maybe a colleague has, or a friend who has a question. You know, I can tell you where the line is, if it's illegal or not, but then how to handle it. People have so many different situations that stress them out at work, and I'm happy to walk through that with them.
312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. Patrick, I appreciate it. Make the goal the rest of your weekend the same as mine, not to waste more time on people calling you a communist.
Amen, brother.
Not to get triggered. Although I'm doing it again. All right, anyways, Patrick, take care. Good to talk to you, my friend.
All right, buddy. Bye.